Welcome to Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast. Here are your hosts, Jordan and Louis Onga. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast. Lou here in studio with the one and the only Jordan. How are you, man?
I'm awesome. How are you doing, man?
Good. Not bad at all. So, you know, we mention all the time that we're so thankful for the listening audience, and we actually have some exciting news to share. Jordan and I have been invited to participate in a pilot program for the church that involves gospel discussions and follows the Come Follow Me curriculum, and it's aimed at YSA members of the church who would like to participate in Institute but don't really have the time in their schedules. So it's a program that has some pretty cool people involved in it too. President Brad Wilcox, who is in the Young Men's General Presidency. We had Jenny Oakes Baker, John, by the way, and Hank Smith, who are, of course, the all-star hosts of the Follow Him podcast, which we love and listen to all the time.
I was about to say some big names, man.
Yeah, so we're excited to add our names to that list. Of course, our names on that list is like the cheeseburger on the menu of a great steakhouse, but we're excited nonetheless, and we're excited to...
Dollar burgers, right?
Yeah. We're excited to lend our voices to that important initiative of the church, and we're grateful to the church for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
So, 2 Nephi, chapters 31 through 33 this week, and we're excited to finish off 2 Nephi. We're sad to see the writings of Nephi end, but we're also thankful for all the things we've learned along the way.
Absolutely.
So, we'll get right into this. The end of Nephi's record brings us some very specific instruction and gives us some key information. And I love how the Come Follow Me schedule isolates these three chapters, because to me, they are the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Faith in God and His Son, repentance, baptism, receiving the Holy Ghost, enduring to the end. And Nephi in these chapters records the doctrine of Jesus Christ with the expert precision of one who has seen the ending and knows the entire plot line. Now, I'm not a huge movie guy. When I find movies that I like, I watch them over and over and over again. But that's just the way I've always been. Because of that, I haven't seen many of the movies that everyone else has seen, right? Like, people will throw out quotes from Back to the Future, and I'm like, yep, haven't seen it. But when I do watch a movie that is new to me, this drives my wife absolutely crazy. But I will actually go online in the middle of the movie and read the entire plot line of the movie and then watch it. Rightfully, that always makes everyone wonder about me a little bit, but I just enjoy the movie more that way. When I'm unburdened by the twists and turns of a plot and I know what's going to happen and I know how it ends, I notice more of the little things along the way, the little insights, the wisdom that's in the character lines and Easter eggs and all that stuff. I think that's why I love the scripture so much. If you struggle with the twists and turns and roller coaster ride that is this life, and you just want to know, why is this happening and how does it all end? The scriptures are the closest thing that we have to the written version of the plot of our lives. And I'm not going to promise you that you're going to know all the things that happen in your specific life as a result of reading the scriptures, but I do promise that you'll be better prepared to handle everything that this life throws at you. Repeatedly in scripture, the Lord tells us very plainly, using phrases such as fear not, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear. It's very evident when you study the scriptures that the Lord doesn't want us to be afraid. That's why we have the scriptures and the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we can live our lives unburdened by the turns in the plot line, unburdened, hopefully, by the actions of others. The outcome is already decided, and even though it takes faith, we too, like Nephi, can write our stories with the precision of an author that knows the ending.
That is such a cool connection about the movie thing. I don't know if that's something that our family does, but I totally do the same thing, reading the plot and knowing the ending. But if you think about it, I mean, how many movies are based off of books and people know the ending of books? And it really does offer a whole new appreciation of how the details are put together.
Yeah. So, and people always say the book is better than the movie.
So. Yeah, always. Right. My wife will always take the book side over the movie for sure.
Yeah.
But you mentioned something key that these next three chapters, these final three chapters of 2 Nephi are going to cover is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And something that stood out to me right off the bat in chapter 31 was how Nephi chose to talk about the example of the Savior, especially about the importance of baptism. Nephi brings up a wonderful question here in verse 5, as it reads, "If the Lamb of God, being holy, should have need to be baptized by water, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized even by water?" Such a great question there by Nephi. I think there's ties there to the words of Matthew as he recalls the reactions of John when baptizing the Savior and asking similar questions. As we read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, John the Baptist speaking, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" To which Christ responds beautifully in verse 15, saying, "Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." So Nephi, teaching of the Savior's baptism and the need for him to set that wonderful example, the Savior may not have needed the cleansing actions and the power of baptism, but he needed to set that example for us, as he proclaimed in verse 15 of Matthew. Really cool experience that I wanted to share with you all pertaining to baptism. I had a wonderful conversation with my neighbor recently, and he asked a lot of great questions about our church. And I got permission from my friend to share this experience with you guys, as he asked a wonderful question about his baptism in his church. He attends a very God-fearing, faithful church here in Gilbert, Arizona. And he asked me, "Does your church view my baptism valid?" Such a great question, right?
Yeah.
And I let him know that. You know, I confidently let him know that we as members of our church do see the righteous action as valid in the Lord's eyes. Absolutely. His choice that he made will go down as such a faithful act on his journey towards Christ. And I believe that full-heartedly, the Savior was so proud of him for doing that and coming unto him. And he took that well. And I went on to explain, really, the only way that we differ in thought is we believe that because of the priesthood authority that Christ established here on earth was lost over time, we believe that it had to be restored again for our day. I wanted to, again, go back to the baptism of Christ and share an example of this. As we know that Christ walked somewhere in the ballpark of 60 to 70 miles to where John was to be baptized, due to John holding the proper priesthood of God. He was the only one that held that proper authority to baptize, which we know that he held the priesthood of Aaron, which he received from his father, who was a temple priest. This, to me, just simply shows the importance of having the priesthood authority, that it couldn't have just been something that was created or gained. You know, it truly needed to be restored and given in these last days. I really enjoyed that conversation that I had with them. But my last thought here on baptism before I kick it back over to you, Louis, is I mentioned a few weeks ago a comment. If you remove the title from the Book of Mormon and you just read this passage of scripture, this is truly something that all of Christianity can get behind. As in verse 13 of this same chapter, we read, "Wherefore, I know that ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the waters." Again, this is one of those instances that we realize across all beliefs in Christianity that we agree more than we disagree.
That was a hard question that he asked you, but I liked how you answered that, because it really is about authority. So many things in chapter 31 to talk about. We'll backtrack a little bit and talk about verse 3, which I think is a wonderful verse. It's one of those verses that I call a getting to know you verse. And I call it that because when you read it with the Spirit, you come away from it knowing the Lord a little better. Mm-hmm. Nephi writes, quote, "For my soul delighteth in plainness, for after this manner doth the Lord God work among the children of men. For the Lord God giveth light unto the understanding, for he speaketh unto men according to their language, unto their understanding." We've all heard the phrase, "God meets you where you are." That has so many meanings and so many implications. No one knows better than the Lord where you are. He knows where you are physically. He knows where you stand with infirmities and physical limitations. He knows where you are mentally. He knows where you are in the context of withstanding temptation. He knows where you are on the covenant path. God meets you where you are. And when we humble ourselves and allow him to meet us, he will meet us with healing. He'll meet us with knowledge and light. He'll meet us with courage and power. And he'll do it in our language, in a way that's easy for us to understand. The world often looks with skepticism and sneering at people who rely on the Lord for help, ignoring the promises, just like this one that the Lord has made numerous times. This is a quote from an author named Katie Davidson. Quote, Jesus meets us in our hiding places, for our King of Kings is also a man of sorrow. He extends an invitation to exchange our flimsy hiding places for a refuge that is strong and secure.
Wow.
That's the rock of the Savior right there.
That's powerful, man. So moving on to my final point that really stood out to me here in this chapter 31 was verses 19 and 20. As Nephi is still teaching here, verse 19 saying, Now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. Verse 20, Wherefore, ye must press forward with steadfast in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love for God and of all men. Press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, and ye shall have eternal life. There is still effort that's required on our end, and it's required to the end. And I wanted to point that out.
Perfect brightness of hope. The world could use some of that today.
Yeah.
Moving on to chapter 32, sort of a shorter chapter, but amazing words are spoken in this chapter. Verse 4, Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. I think it's interesting that Nephi chose to use the word perish here as a consequence for not asking things of the Lord. This is one thing that I have personally learned from Nephi in this year's study of the Book of Mormon. What I'm about to share is deeply personal and meaningful to me. In my preparations to do this podcast each week, I've really learned to ask the Lord what he wants me to say on this show. And trust me, this podcast has only been available for 2 months, and I'm not trying to make it sound like we have this massive audience, right? But we do have an audience that is growing each and every week, and the Lord knows them all personally. Jordan, you and I, both in fervent prayer, have asked the Lord to please use our efforts in this show as a way to help him in whatever small ways we can. In asking the Lord to be a part of this with us, I can't even begin to tell you the miracles that have taken place on the pages of Scripture as I've read certain passages and as I've consumed certain stories. Thoughts have come to my mind about nameless, faceless people that are strangers to me, but I know that they need me to say a certain thing this week or a certain thing on that week. So many people have come to me and to my wife, and Jordan, I know the same has been true for you, and they said, thank you for this comment or that story. I really needed to hear that, and I needed to hear it right now. The power of asking the Lord to guide you in whatever you do and trusting him is an extraordinary and really astonishing experience. And in a 20-minute show, both of us have had things that we thought were really cool that had to be cut in favor of something that we both felt was less useful. But because we strive to follow the Spirit, we've included them. A quick story about asking. My wife and I used to teach a youth Sunday school class a number of years ago, 15 and 16-year-olds. A lesson I gave one Sunday was something that I read online, to hold a $20 bill in your fist and challenge the kids in the class to try to get it from you. But the lesson was to see if anyone simply asked you to open your hand. So I thought this sounded fun and useful, so I did it. And after about 20 minutes of teaching about asking and reading scriptures about asking and discussing about asking, I issued the challenge with the $20 bill. And I said, all you have to do is get my hand open and you get the $20 bill. But the only rule is that you can't gang up on me. You have to go one at a time. So I had no shortage of young men who challenged me and tried to pry my hand open one by one.
Oh, yeah.
They came up and tried their best, and each one of them ultimately gave up. One kid even bragged that he knew a martial arts move that was guaranteed to work. And I was a little worried about that one, but it didn't work. A couple of the young ladies tried as well. Some of them wanted no part of it, which was fine. So after several unsuccessful attempts, I'm about to end the lesson. And one of the young ladies in the class walks up in front of the whole gaggle of out-of-breath young men and quietly asks me, will you open your hand, please? And I look at my wife and she's smiling and I open my hand and the young lady grabbed the $20, which she kept. Now,
that's awesome.
I was planning on the big reveal, which would have been me telling the class, all you had to do is ask, and how the same is true with the Lord. But I'm really grateful that it worked out the way it did. The looks on the guys' faces were priceless. And I still have some of those guys that have gone on to serve missions and they've come home, and when they visit the ward, they'll still tell me that lesson was really cool.
They still remembered it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
So the lesson was a little rowdy. It's probably the reason why we only have Sunday school every other week now, but it was pretty effective.
That's so cool.
Moving on to verse 5. One thing that can take a long time to learn, and this took me a long time to learn too, is to recognize the voice of the Spirit when it whispers to you. It's hard sometimes to know if something that you are feeling or hearing is just you, like your internal voice,
right,
or if it's the voice of the Spirit. Nephi gives us a clue from his own experience in verse 5. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things what ye should do. Pretty awesome promise. And some may be thinking, that works great for Nephi, but the Holy Ghost is a mystery to me. Mm. That's a very real thing. Some adults that I've talked to have told me, I've never heard the Spirit speak to me. And my response to them is always, first of all, your faith is astounding to me, because even though what you just told me must be incredibly frustrating, you're here at church every week, worshiping the Lord, wanting to be changed, and faithfully waiting on the Spirit to speak to you. Secondly, I will tell them, what do you do when you get a phone call in a loud, crowded room, but you don't want to miss the call? You quickly find the quietest place possible, and you either take the call or you call them back. We've read about Nephi doing this throughout his record. He sought the Spirit in places where he could be immersed in the Spirit. And just like that phone call, without the noise, you can hear it. I love this quote from Elder David A. Bednar. How can I tell when I'm being prompted by the Spirit? Quit worrying about it. Quit fussing with it. Quit analyzing it. You be a good boy. You be a good girl. You honor your covenants. You keep the commandments. And I promise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that as you press forward with faith in Christ, your footsteps will be guided. As you open your mouth, it will be filled, and you will be where you need to be. And most of the time, you will not have any idea how you got there.
Wow, the power of a quote from an apostle of the Lord. Loved your thoughts there, Lou. This chapter definitely spoke all those same things to me. Ties into another favorite principle that I feel was spoken of in this chapter. As we turn to verse 8, I think that Nephi really understood just the power of prayer. And I love in verse 8 how Nephi cries out, knowing that there will be many still to mourn in unbelief and wickedness and ignorance, and they will fail to search knowledge. And just in this verse, the importance and the power of prayer, that prayer will be a true factor that will help many not faint in the last days. So pray, pray, pray. I think that this ties in to my next thought here. Chapter 33 has significant reference to missionaries all over the world. And of course, in my time as a missionary, and now with the missionary efforts that we have with individuals in our communities, I find myself reflecting and feeling Nephi's writing here. As he says, I pray continually for them by day, and my eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith. And I know that he hears my cry. Verse 4, he confirms, I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. This again just shows the weight that prayer carries and the special ability that we have to truly communicate with our Creator, with our Father in heaven, to seek answers, to seek comfort, and to seek Jesus.
It's beautiful, Jordan. Thank you for sharing that. I have a lot to learn myself about that. It really is a powerful thing. Another gem as we get closer to the end of Nephi's record in verse 13, he says, and now, my beloved brethren, all those who are of the house of Israel, and all ye of the earth, I speak unto you, as the voice of one crying from the dust. The voice of Nephi has guided modern day prophets just as it's guided everyday men and women for nearly 200 years. The following is a mind-blowing example of someone following the voice of Nephi. I've never read a more powerful example than this one of following a prophet, and it comes from President Russell M. Nelson. Many of us are aware of President Nelson's contribution to medical science as a pioneering heart surgeon, but listen to this amazing experience that he shares about using the scriptures in modern day life. Said President Nelson, "Nephi had influenced my life previously through my many years as a medical educator, researcher, and surgeon. Having grown up in a day when it was not fashionable for medical doctors to participate in religious affairs, I was determined to be different. I wanted to follow the example of Nephi, who taught that we should liken all scriptures unto us. The concept of blending scriptural truth with academic learning and not separating the two made perfect sense to me. I took a great deal of courage from that concept in doing research on the heart. When I graduated from medical school, it was commonly believed that one must not touch the beating heart for fear that it would stop. Because of Nephi's teachings, I chose to liken the scriptures to the field of my interest in the heart. Verses of the Doctrine and Covenants served to undergird my thinking, and they included, there is a law irrevocably decreed in heaven before the foundations of this world, upon which all blessings are predicated. And when we obtain any blessing from God, it is by obedience to that law upon which it is predicated." That's DNC 130. "All kingdoms have a law given, and there are many kingdoms, for there is no space in the which there is no kingdom, and there is no kingdom in which there is no space, either a greater or lesser kingdom, and unto every kingdom is given a law, and unto every law there are certain bounds and also conditions." From Doctrine and Covenants 88. President Nelson continues, "These scriptures helped me to understand that laws pertained to all blessings, including that of the beating heart. I felt that once we understood what the laws are that keep the heart beating, we should be able to stop a damaged heart, make required repairs, and start it again. Indeed, that proved to be true. Surgeons now routinely stop and start the heart, knowing that the divine laws pertaining to that blessing are dependable and incontrovertible." A good friend of mine who I served in a bishopric with is a perfusionist. He's a program director now at a medical school, but perfusionists operate a machine called, and I wrote this down, cardiopulmonary bypass pump, also known as a heart-lung machine. It basically performs the functions of the heart and lungs for a heart surgery patient while the surgeon makes repairs. And President Nelson was part of a group that developed this machine, or the principles behind it. It's quite amazing to know that his research was spurred by scripture. Countless lives have been saved because of it. It's really unbelievable. That story, by the way, was courtesy of the book Heroes of the Book of Mormon by various authors.
What a cool story. Wow.
Unreal.
President Nelson, the more and more I hear of his experiences and just his faith in general, I mean, I'm just blown away. I did not know that about him.
Guy's a stud.
Really cool story, man.
We have a challenge for all those listening this week as we end the show. Before we get to that, I wanted to read some more of the words of President Nelson from the book Heroes of the Book of Mormon. His conclusion on the writings of Nephi also serve as a wonderful tribute. President Nelson said, quote, "Nephi's personality comes to life as we read his closing testimony. He reveals his strengths, his perceived weaknesses, his frustrations, his delights, and finally, his sterling commitment to obey God. Nephi was a multifaceted genius. Endowed with great physical stature, he was a prophet, teacher, ruler, colonizer, builder, craftsman, scholar, writer, poet, military leader, and father of nations. Nephi had a sincere desire to know the mysteries of God. He became a special witness and a trusted prophet of the Lord. Nephi lived an adventurous life and faced numerous difficulties. Some of the challenges he faced included fleeing Jerusalem, building a ship, crossing the waters to the Promised Land, colonizing, withstanding persecution, fulfilling family and leadership responsibilities, and keeping records. Toward the end of his inspiring life, Nephi wrote his concluding testimony and bore witness of the doctrine of Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, and the truthfulness of the words that he had written." Appropriately, his final testimony closed with the words that could be known as his signature, "I must obey." Few have spoken so profoundly on behalf of one generation to another. Indeed, Nephi's life and mission were destined to bless us and all people of our day. Our challenge for this week is very, very simple. Take a few moments this week and either ponder or pray or write and just express your gratitude for the life, the example, and the writings of Nephi. That's it. We promise that as you reflect on your personal gratitude for this mighty prophet of the Lord, that the legendary faith of Nephi will fortify your life with power and influence you to do good continually.
Amen. Nephi was that dude.
Totally. I'll give you an update on the tear jar as I sit here with tears in my eyes like tomorrow. $15 added to the tear jar. Both of us lost it a little bit today, but that's kind of the way it goes.
That darn Nephi got to us.
Yeah, unbelievable. So that brings our running total for the year to $125, which, as we know, will be donated to Church Humanitarian Aid. So grateful to each of you for joining us this week. Grateful for the words of Nephi. Thankful for the Book of Mormon and the opportunity that we have to study this amazing book and these amazing writings with you each and every week. Next week will be a little bit of a different episode. We'll be taking a break from the scriptures and talking a little bit about the Easter holiday. And we're looking forward to that show very, very much.
Absolutely.
That's all for this week. We thank you for joining us. Until next week, tu'uma'u, stand firm. We'll talk to you in a week. Standing Firm, a Come Follow Me podcast, is a production of Sierra House Publishing, LLC. The show, or any opinions expressed therein, are not affiliated with The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For a transcript of today's show, please visit our website at standingfirmpodcast.com.